You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning, before we have our chorus, is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 34. It says, "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' Then Jesus said unto them, 'Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light.' These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, 'Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah had said again, 'He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them.' These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God."
In a world full of broken dreams, where the truth is hard to answer to his around you fall. Will you be the one to take horizon light into a darkened world? Tell me, will you be the one? Yes, I'll be the one to answer to his call. Yes, I'll stand when those around me fall. Yes, I'll be the one to take horizon light into a darkened world. Yes, I'll be the one. Will you be the one?
Turn in your Bibles, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 12. Title of the message today is Confusion or Conversion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And there's a lot of confusion in our world today, individually as well as society as a whole. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture here this morning concerning confusion or conversion, hopefully you know you are converted, and we'll address that in just a little bit. And so we're going to look, first of all, at the prejudice against the lawgiver, which is God, of course, and the problem of the laity, the people there, and then the promise of the light. Jesus portrays himself here as the light of the world. And so we'll look at these three things this morning. First of all, let's look at the prejudice against the lawgiver. The word prejudice, of course, with that prefix pre on it, has to do with judging before, has to do with judging something or someone when you don't have all the facts. And of course, it has a negative connotation as well when a person is biased or showing partiality there. And oftentimes that is done based on appearance. And that's when it's wrong. But the word prejudice or being contradictory there, and even having discrimination, as we say, can be a positive thing, but it's not usually that way, used that way, and here it's certainly not in a positive aspect. And so they're having some prejudice against the Lord, and we're going to see that as we look at these verses. And they rejected his message, and they ask him a question, as we are in John 12, 34. They said, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever." So here they are with some knowledge of the Scripture, some knowledge of the Old Testament, and they knew that it says in the law that Christ, which is the Messiah, abides forever. And they knew that. So their question was this: how do you say then that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Now, Jesus referred to himself often as the Son of Man. And up in verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And they understood what it meant when he said he's going to be lifted up. He was going to be lifted up on the cross. He was going to die. And so they said, if Christ is going to be forever, how are you saying, if you are the Christ, that you're going to die? And the biggest problem they had when they rejected his message, and the confusion that they had, was because they didn't understand the resurrection. They knew that the Scriptures taught about Christ dying, that he would suffer. Isaiah 53 tells about that. But they didn't understand the resurrection. And when people today don't understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they're not going to understand much else, because that is paramount. That is such an important doctrine that we have, that Jesus would be lifted up, and then he would be raised from the dead.
And it says in verse 23 that he's going to be glorified. And here's Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. When he talks about he's going to be glorified, he's not talking about when he comes back again. And he is going to be glorified when that happens, of course. He's not talking about his glorified body then. He's talking about what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to be lifted up and be resurrected. And in that he's going to be glorified because he has come to earth in obedience to his Father. And whenever he obeys his Father and dies and rises again, he's going to be glorified because of his obedience. And any time we obey the Lord, whether it's in what we would consider to be minor things of obedience or major steps of obedience, any time we obey the Lord, it glorifies him as well. But they rejected his message because they had some preconceived ideas, and that's what prejudice is, having preconceived ideas, maybe you've been inherited with them, and here they had this prejudice against his message, but they also rejected his ministry. His ministry was to be a light. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And so his ministry was one of bringing light into the world, a world of darkness, a world of confusion. And Jesus comes to bring light. Now, that is our ministry as well. The Bible tells us that we are to be light bearers, that we are to reflect the Son of God and let our light so shine before others that God would be glorified. But Jesus says those who have rejected the light, it says that darkness comes upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. And so a person who's walking around in darkness, it's a dangerous thing. If you're out in the woods especially, or you know, and it's totally dark and you can't see anything, you might be tripping, you might be falling in a hole, there might be an animal nearby who's getting ready to attack you. When you're walking in darkness, there is great danger and you don't know where you're going. Jesus came that we don't have to walk in darkness, that we can know where we're going and we can go there safely without fear and trust him. And his ministry is one of being a light to the world. Well, they not only rejected his message and his ministry, but they rejected his miracles. He did many miracles, and you would think seeing is believing, as we often say, but they saw, but they didn't believe. Verse 37 says, for though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. He did so many miracles before them, right in front of them, and they saw all the miracles that he did, and yet they still didn't believe. Part of that was because of their prejudice. He was claiming to be God, the Christ, the Son of God, and they rejected his message. They rejected his ministry. They rejected his miracles, and it says here, yet they believed not. One day, everyone will be a believer. But unfortunately, it's going to be too late for some. We must believe now while we have the opportunity here on earth to believe. And they saw the miracles, but they didn't believe. There was an emptiness in them. You go by a motel, sometimes you see the words vacancy means there's room. They'll welcome you in. And that's a wonderful message we have from the Lord as well. Their song that we sing, there's room at the cross. There's always room, no matter how many times a person has rejected the message, rejected the ministry, and rejected the miracles. All it takes is that person to come to God in faith, believing and accept him. And he says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. There is room at the cross for you. And so here, they believed some of the scriptures. They knew that the scriptures taught that he was going to die, but yet they didn't believe some of the other scriptures. And we have people doing that today. They kind of pick and choose which scriptures they want to believe and obey and follow and proclaim. And the ones that they don't like, they kind of dismiss those. Whenever a person does that, or a group of people do that, they're really making themselves God. They're putting themselves in a place to say, well, this is scripture for today. This one's not for today. And so that's what these Pharisees were doing when they rejected the lawgiver himself, the Son of God. Well, we go on and we see the problem of the laity there, beginning in verse 38. It says that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore they could not believe, and that's because they would not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted. And so the first problem of the laity was their sightlessness there. And they didn't believe. And the principle in the scripture of sowing and reaping, whatever man sows, that shall he reap. And so as a person sows unbelief, and he doesn't believe when he hears the message of the gospel, he doesn't believe, then it begins to reap more unbelief and more unbelief there. And so he had done these miracles right before their eyes, and they could see it, but yet they were still sightless. They did not have spiritual sight. When the Lord saves us, he opens our eyes. We begin to see things a lot differently than we did before we were saved. We begin to see philosophy different, theology different. We begin to see people differently. We see sin differently. Whenever we get saved, the Lord opens our eyes and we begin to see our own sin differently, especially there. And so the problem of the laity was they were sightless. A second problem, they were stiff-hearted in verse 40. It says they harden their hearts there. They harden their hearts to God's word because, as Isaiah said in verse 38, the word report, who believed our report? Who has believed it there? And they had rejected the message of God's word. But not only had they rejected the word of God, they had rejected the work of God. In verse 38, it says, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord revealed? And so here's God's report, his word. Here's the arm of the Lord, which is his work. And we won't take the time to go to all the verses, but if you want to do a study, sometimes it's very interesting. Look through the phrase, the arm of the Lord, and you'll see how often that refers to Jesus Christ himself. And so here is God reaching down with his arm, and his arm wants to embrace you and take you in to salvation and be a child of God. And so here are these people that are rejecting the message. They're rejecting the ministry. They're rejecting the miracles here, and they're sightless, and they're stiff-hearted. And the more they reject, the harder their heart becomes. And the same thing is true with believers. Whenever God convicts us and speaks to our heart about anything in our lives that we know needs some fine-tuning, some fixing, repenting, or whatever, whenever we say no to the Lord when he convicts us, the heart starts to get a little more calloused, a little bit harder. And that's what was happening here. They continually, day after day, with the miracles and the light right before them, they rejected and their hearts became hard. And we see that wonderful word in verse 40, converted. It says they hardened their hearts and they didn't understand with their heart and be converted. The word converted means to turn toward. And so whenever a person is converted, he has turned from his evil way, his sinful way, and he has turned towards the Lord there. So convert or convert, a noun form, it's a wonderful thing. It has to do with repentance and change. He has turned from one way and he's turned to another way. And unless there is conversion, a person is not saved. Just because a person believes the truth, as these Pharisees did, some of the truth of the scripture, they weren't saved. And we know the Bible says even the devils, the demons, they believe, but they're not saved. There must be a conversion experience where we are changed from one direction of going to hell and destruction. We put our trust in Christ, and he turns us a totally different way. And whenever he converts us and changes us, everything changes. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are come new. And so to overcome confusion, there is conversion. Well, the laity, the people, they had another problem, and that was a problem of shallowness in their belief. Notice it says that they believed, but they did not confess him. There was no genuine commitment here. And the reason they didn't confess him, it tells us very clearly in verse 42, they feared that they would be put out of the synagogue. If the people believed that Jesus was the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah who was going to be crucified and resurrected, and they put their faith in him, they would be kicked out the synagogue there. And they didn't want that. And they wanted to continue in their religion there. We should never allow fear of what man does to us cause us not to confess Christ publicly. The scripture says in Acts 5:29 that we ought to obey God rather than men. And there may be some times, and I hope I'm not accurate in a prophecy by saying in America there are going to come some times where it may cost us our lives to confess Christ publicly, but it might. We look around today and we see so much wickedness and so much animosity towards Christ, and here they were afraid to make it public. And Christ wants us not just to believe on him, but to confess him publicly before others as well. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. Because when people have a fear of man, it means, what's somebody going to do to me if I take this position on the scripture? Or if I say this about Christ, that he's the only way, what's going to happen to me? If we start making our decisions based on what might happen rather than what is right, that's the fear of man. And so the decisions and the choices that we make can never be based upon what might happen, but it must be what is right there. And so their shallowness, and so much shallowness today, is because people want to take the easy way out, the road of least resistance, rather than taking a stand for what the Word of God says. And the fourth problem of the laity here was that of self-centeredness. Verse 43 is true of a lot of people today, and can be true of even us as Christians if we're not careful, because we all have that sinful nature within us. It says they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, that in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And this is a sign of the last days, that people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's a sign of the Laodicean age in the book of Revelation. One of the churches is the church of Laodicea. And the word Laodicea begins with the word laos, which means people. And the rest of it means rights. So it's the rights of the people. So when we study the prophecy of Revelation and we see the last days in which we live, characterized by the Laodicean church, one of the key components of the last days is people are going to be claiming their rights there, the rights of the people. Self-centeredness. Boy, we see that today. Maybe the trumpet will sound today. And that would be great for those of us who know the Lord, of course, and we know that it could happen at any moment. But self-centeredness was a problem that they had, and it caused them not to believe on Christ and commit wholeheartedly because they were self-centered. Well, we move from the problem of the laity now to the promise of the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Beginning in verse 44, Jesus begins to summarize his claims from the previous verses. And he cried and said in verse 44, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Boy, what a wonderful statement. Jesus says, if you are looking at me, you're looking at God. the one that sent me. And here he is to show the revelation of deity. And he is the light. And the closer we get to the light, the better we can see. The good and the bad. We can see a whole lot better when we have light shed on a situation. And Jesus and God are one. He says, when you believe on me, you're not just believing on me, but you're believing on God because he's the one that sent me, and we are one and the same. And when you see me, you're looking at God. John chapter 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so here we have the Word of God, the Son of God, and he has died for us, and he's the only way, and he is God in the flesh. And this is the promise of the light. Well, not only did he come to show revelation of deity, but also to show release from darkness. People were living in darkness then, and they are today. Verse 46, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Isn't that whosoever a wonderful word? That whosoever may come. It doesn't matter. It could be these religious hypocrites, or it can be thieves and murderers, adulterers, liars, regardless of the sin. He that believes on me should not abide in darkness. And Jesus specializes in taking lives that are ruined and are in darkness and bringing light and restoring life from the ruins of sin. Whosoever includes you, if you've never trusted Christ, he comes to set you free, to free you from darkness and for the chains of sin and give you life. Well, the last thing that the promise of the light came to do was to show rescue from destruction. In verse 47, Jesus said, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, some people misunderstand when they read this, that he didn't come to judge. Now, it's talking about purpose. His purpose was not to come to judge. His purpose was to come to save. But if we read just that one verse and we don't go into the next verse, we won't get the whole story there. And that's what happens when people take a verse out of context. Jesus says, I didn't come to judge. He didn't say there's not going to be judgment. He said, that's not my purpose. That's why I came. But for those who reject the light, for those who reject the one who came in the flesh as God and was lifted up on the cross and resurrected, to those who reject that person of Christ, he will be judged. That's not why Jesus came. Let's look at it in verse 48. It says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Notice those two things go together. Receiving Christ, receiving the word of God, because they are the same as we saw from John 1:1. He that rejects me and my words hath one that judges him, the word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So he doesn't say he won't be judged. He says, that's not why I came. I came that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly, but whoever rejects the light will forever live in the darkness of hell. He will be judged by the Father. And he said earlier that you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There is judgment of eternal darkness and separation from God for all those who don't receive him, to all those who don't receive the word of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and through him only is salvation. We have a song that we sing, Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. And indeed, he is merciful. He will save. That's why he came. But there is judgment to those who reject him and continue to live in confusion and darkness. In conclusion, are you living in confusion and darkness this morning? God doesn't want you to live in confusion. He doesn't want you to live in darkness. He wants you to come to the light. Jesus is the light. And he removes confusion. He removes darkness. It doesn't mean that you're never going to trip. Doesn't mean that you're not ever going to have any kind of little bit of confusion here or there. But you will never be confused about your eternal destiny. And knowing that Christ is my Savior forever and ever, and whenever I have issues and needs here on earth, I have one who will shed light on this subject for me. When I go to God's Word, he will make things clear. And so today we're living in a world full of darkness. And what the world needs is Jesus. There's a song we're going to sing. Nathan's going to come and lead us. There are two stanzas to it. You'll see it on the screen. What the world needs is Jesus. And maybe you need Jesus as well. If you're still living in darkness and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Let's pray before we sing our hymn. Our Father, we thank you for the light that has come into the world. The light of the world is Jesus. Our world needs Jesus. As we said earlier, we look around and we see so much confusion, so much hatred, so much violence, so much wickedness. Lord, what the world needs is Jesus. And we pray that you would send revival to our land. Lord, but we can't make a decision for the whole world. Each one of us can only make a decision for myself. And Lord, those that are hearing my voice now, that if they have never trusted Christ as the light of the world for them, to know him, the crucified Savior who has been resurrected, Lord, I pray that they would trust you and come to know the peace and the life that knowing the light brings to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.